Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Executive Digital Director, West Coast.
And we have a special guest joining us this week. It's the other Senior Director of Charts, Gary Trust. Welcome, Gary.
Yay. Thank you.
I flew 3,000 miles just to be here for this.
Yep.
That is how special our special guests are. Well, we'll talk about why Gary is here in just a second, because as always, the Billboard Pop Shop podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop, and sometimes from Billboard's own charts department.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Today on the show, we've got chart news on how Harry Styles' As It Was hits a 14th non-consecutive week at number one on the Billboard Hot 100. How many songs have spent 14 weeks atop the chart in history? Could Styles hold on longer at number one? Might he even beat the all-time record for the most weeks at number one set by Lil Nas X's Old Town Road in 2019? Well, thankfully, we've got Gary here so we can ask him all of those questions. Plus, we've got chart news on how Bad Bunny's Un Verano Sin Ti clocks an 11th week at number one on the Billboard 200, becoming the album with the most weeks atop the list since 2016, and how Nav, Ozzy Osbourne, Kane Brown, and Yeet all debut in the top 10 on the Billboard 200 albums chart.
Also on the show, a trailer for the upcoming Whitney Houston biopic, I Wanna Dance With Somebody, came out last week. And we're going to talk all about our first impressions and, of course, about Stanley Tucci playing legendary record producer Clive Davis. So stick around for that. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
All right, let's do the chart chat. First up on the Billboard 200 albums chart, Bad Bunny's Un Verano Sin Ti holds atop the chart for an 11th non-consecutive week. That marks the most total weeks at number one in nearly 6 years, since Drake's Views logged 13 non-consecutive weeks at number one in 2016 between May and October of that year. Un Verano Sin Ti earned 97,000 equivalent album units in the U.S. in the week ending September 15th, according to Luminate. Also in the top 10 on the Billboard 200, Nav's Demons Protected by Angels debuts at number 2. Ozzy Osbourne's Patient number 9 starts at number 3. Kane Brown's Different Man starts at number 5. And Young Boy Never Broke Again's Reeler 2 jumps 71 to 6 after its first full charting week. Also, Yeet's Life debuts at number 10. It was a very busy top 10.
I was going to say, that is like the busiest top 10 I've ever heard you recap on the show.
We've had busier top 10s.
This is crazy, though.
Back before we switched to consumption and equivalent album units, like I think there were weeks where we had like 7 debuts in the top 10 or 8 debuts. Hmm. Like, it's just wild. Let me recap. It's the 5th top 10 for Nav, the 9th top 10 for Ozzy. That makes sense. It's Patient number 9 top 10s. The 2nd top 10 for Yeet, and the 11th top 10 for Young Boy Never Broke Again. So Reeler 2 actually came out initially to YouTube on September 6th.
I didn't know YouTube did album premieres.
Well, he loaded all the tracks to YouTube.
Okay.
So the album
very DIY.
All the album songs went up to YouTube on September 6th.
Okay.
Then the album went wide to all streamers in the middle of the day on September 7th, thus its debut a week ago at number 71, on the Billboard 200 dated September 17th was prompted by really only 2 days of activity across all streamers, because that was the week ending September 8th, mm-hmm. plus 3 days of activity at YouTube. So the jump into the top 10 this week is its first real full chart week.
Got it.
Also, I mean, it was available to purchase, but it has sold a negligible number of copies. So that's why I'm talking about streaming for this album, because Youngboy is very streaming oriented. Last thing I'll say about this is that Reeler 2 is Youngboy's fourth new top 10 in 2022. He's the only act with four new top 10s or even three new top 10s this year. He previously hit the top 10 in 2022 with The Last Slametto, which hit number 2. Better Than You, a collaborative set with DaBaby, which hit number 10, and Colors, which hit number 2 in February.
The Youngboy fans are hungry.
There's
apparently.
A lot. There's a lot of Youngboy content there for everyone.
Yes.
Next up, moving over to the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, Harry Styles, As It Was, adds a 14th week at number 1. It now ties for the fourth most weeks at number 1 in the chart's 64-year history.
Hey, Gary, how many songs have had at least 14 weeks at number 1?
Yeah, so only 11.
11.
All time.
Rare company. Elite company.
Just 11. Now, and if Harry holds on for one more week, the single will be one of only 4 songs with 15 weeks or more at number 1. Is that correct, Gary?
That is correct.
Okay, so just to recap, the all-time record holder for the most weeks at number 1 is Lil Nas X's Old Town Road featuring Billy Ray Cyrus with 19 weeks. It's followed by Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee's Despacito and Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men's One Sweet Day, both with 16 weeks at number 1 each. Strangely, no song has just 15 weeks at number 1.
Right. Well, it never stopped at 15.
Right, but I mean, like, if
could be next week.
Maybe Harry will stop at 15.
Right.
So, Gary, we have many questions about this. Why do we think that As It Was has had such an incredible and lengthy run at number 1? Because you've written about this before, where its span of weeks at number 1 has seemingly been like 3 years. Not really, but it's lingered around the top of the chart for a very long time. So why is this song the one that seemed to really resonate so much in 2022?
Yeah, so it's still number 1 on radio. So as long as it's been out, it's still the biggest hit song on radio right now. So there's that. It's also top 10 still in the streaming. And that's kind of the magic combination on the Hot 100. If you can be a huge radio hit and still be big in streams, or be big in streams and have your radio airplay time up to when you're still that big, that's how you get to be big on the chart and to stay on the chart at those high numbers. So, yeah, as much as it might feel like, wow, we're going way back for this song. April, May, we were talking about this song. Still number 1, still the biggest song on radio, still one of the 10 most streamed songs.
It's funny, like when the song came out, to me it sounded like, oh, this sounds like a hit record.
Yeah.
Like it did. I never anticipated that it would be suddenly in such rare company. Like, and that's no shade. It's just I never thought.
Well, and we talked about when it came out too that like Harry historically for his previous two albums had pretty soft lead singles, and then had songs that did better after. And so As It Was, when we were talking about it before it came out, it's like, oh, this might be the kind of eccentric Harry first, you know, lead
like
single.
Sign of the Times sort of Harry.
Sign of the Times, The Light, I think, was the other one. And it's like all of a sudden it's the biggest smash. It's the Watermelon Sugar of, you know, this album. And so I think that having that sustained, it's like it came out before Harry's House did. You had Coachella. Then it's like the song of the summer because it just never went away. And now it's still, you know, surviving.
Gary, is there something, I mean, I think you've written about this a lot, and how radio seems to be a teensy bit sort of slower in how they sort of churn through hits. I mean, radio has been sort of notoriously slow in many ways, where usually they're late to singles. But it feels like radio, it's the climate is so different now. Do you feel like radio is in a space now where songs that are going to be hits at radio are going to be lingering at radio for like a year instead of like, have you noticed that too?
Yeah.
Where like, it's not just Harry Styles. Lots of songs are hanging on longer at radio.
Yeah. Yeah. We see on the Blinding Lights and Save Your Tears as well. Heat Waves.
Which, Levitating.
Levitating.
Famously.
So, yeah. I think part of it is over the pandemic, radio needed to just be playing the hits because people weren't commuting, and a lot of radio listening is in people's cars. So I think a lot of radio thinking was, let's just be playing the hits, no matter how old they are, they're clearly hits. Why play something untested? Because we need to get people listening if they're in their car only for 15 minutes instead of an hour commuting. So radio's been pretty solid with playing the hits, and that's benefited some of these songs. And if you look at the songs that have spent the most time at number one on the Hot 100, Old Town Road was 2019, Despacito was 2017. So bigger picture, it may be something we're going to see going forward. Everything is lasting longer once you have streaming in the mix as well. If a song is a big streaming hit and a big radio hit, it can just stay on the chart forever. So we might be seeing more of this. We might be having this conversation again about other songs going forward as well.
Is this also saying something like about how maybe there's been a lack? I mean, has there been a lack of sort of shakeups and excitement at the top of the chart? Because, I mean, we just had a number one for Nicki Minaj with Super Freaky Girl.
Right.
There, Lizzo went to number one. So there, it's not like there hasn't been other songs that have hit number one.
No, and in Conda, we don't talk about Bruno. That came and went. That was more like a comet.
How long was that number one?
That was number one for 5 weeks.
Okay.
So we still see all kinds of charts.
Dropping the bucket compared to Harry.
Right.
So you still see different kinds of chart runs, but you see stuff like Heat Waves and As It Was that are very sustained.
I feel like all the ones that you named, including Blinding Lights, Levitating, Heat Waves, all that, those are the songs I'm going to hear on my mom radio on the way into taking my kids to school on adult pop or AC because they're going to be played easily alongside, you know, Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams or whatever 80s song they're going to play too. As It Was, like, immediately fit in with that crowd too. And that's, they keep those songs around for a long time. So, yeah.
Wow.
So it's moms. Moms are powering this.
Yeah,
moms also love Harry Styles.
The Mom 100.
Exactly.
The power of moms. Gary, you won't have an answer, but I'm going to ask anyways. Do you think this song has a chance of matching or beating the Old Town Road weeks of number one record with 19?
19.
Yeah, I think it has a good chance to, but it's hard to tell even next week because we know anything can be released at any moment. We know Taylor Swift has a new album coming out. She has a hit single that you would think that first week for a Taylor single is going to be huge.
Based upon her recent track record with regularly hitting number one in the first week with new singles.
But maybe that's just kind of a one-week hit and it goes back a little bit. Or it's a song like As It Was where it immediately clicks at radio and gets that longevity. So there could be something like that. We've seen a lot of remixes. Nicki Minaj this week goes back up 7 to 3 after the Queen mix came out of Super Freaky Girl. So you never quite know, even as we're taping this, something might have just been released that we haven't checked our email yet. But other than that, beyond that, its airplay is still so strong. That's going to be steady. Hit songs, airplay is very steady. So that's not really going anywhere. Even if it diminishes, it'll be slightly week to week. Streams are still pretty strong at this point. So I think it has a pretty safe bet that it could hit it. So I know it's a lot of coulds and maybes, but yeah.
Meanwhile, Steve Lacy, Bad Habit at number two is just patiently waiting.
Oh, I would love if it could sneak in for even just a week at number one. It's such a cool, weird song to be so high on the chart anyway. I'm the only person in this room allowed to root for that. So here I am.
Gary and I root for everyone equally.
I know, you're Switzerland.
We love everyone at number one or number two or in fact any of the numbers on the
charts. As long as you're on our chart, we're happy with
it. We're happy
for
you.
We're proud of you.
Well, I think we can move on.
Okay,
Katie.
Let's.
Okay.
Because in very Pop Shop news, the first trailer for I Want to Dance with Somebody, which is a biopic examining the career and life of pop superstar Whitney Houston, arrived on Thursday and gave viewers the very first look at British actress Naomi Ackie's impassioned portrayal of the icon. And along with Ackie, as I mentioned at the top of the show, I Want to Dance with Somebody also stars Stanley Tucci as legendary record producer Clive Davis, who famously discovered Houston while she was performing at a New York City nightclub and signed her to his label Arista Records. So the first thing I'd like to talk about is, in the scene that the trailer shows, the moment of discovery, of Clive Davis's discovery, Ackie is performing the opening lines of the late vocalist's 1985 hit How Will I Know on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Keith, do you know whether she was like actually performing How Will I Know? It felt wrong.
When I watched it, I was just like, this is incorrect.
Like, historically inaccurate.
Like, as I understand it, Clive went to see Whitney perform most likely in 1983.
Okay.
How Will I Know was written, I believe, in 1984.
Okay.
And it was the third single from Whitney's album in 1985.
Right.
So
this isn't checking out.
What I'm thinking is either the trailer is showing, is somehow pasted together segments of the audio of the song How Will I Know to sync up with moments where the actress playing Whitney moved her lips to make it look like she was singing How Will I Know.
So you think in that scene in the movie that she won't actually be performing How Will I Know?
What I'm hoping is that they actually keep it truthful and that she was just singing some whatever song she was singing that night.
But His Eye Is on the Sparrow.
Was that it?
I don't know. I'm making up a gospel song.
Probably a gospel song. And then maybe just for the trailer's purposes, they wanted to use a very familiar song that people would know.
Well, and also there's a famous recording of just the vocal of How Will I Know.
The acapella.
Which just shows how insane Whitney's instrument is. So I'm sure they just wanted that to be the moment that popped in the
trailer. Or they
could
also be playing very fast and loose.
Yeah. I mean, biopics often, you know, change things to make, you know, you're talking about a 2-hour movie, you know, encapsulating the life of Whitney Houston.
It's not gonna happen.
You're gonna have to tighten some things up. You don't think How Will I Know is performed in that nightclub is what you're saying?
No. Considering that the song was apparently, like, if we believe Wiki, was apparently written with Janet Jackson in mind.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay, what do we think of Stanley Tucci as Clive Davis? There's some prosthetics involved, some famous jowls perhaps.
I cannot wait to hear Stanley Tucci talk as if he was Clive.
He talks in the trailer.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
What did he say?
At the very end, he's like, I just heard the voice of a lifetime or something
Clive famously was just like, when I discovered Whitney Houston back in 1982, it was right after I had found Bruce Springsteen and Joni Mitchell Carlos Santana.
Did they even audition Keith for this part, Gary? I mean, like, listen to this
I should have brought my Stanley Tucci impression.
Yeah.
Didn't know that was going to be required.
Gird your loins. Whitney Houston is in the room.
All right, so I'll share when I saw the trailer, Naomi Ackie as Whitney. Listen, we're going to need to see the whole movie to know how she actually does, but I was a little put off by she doesn't look like Whitney.
She doesn't look like
Whitney.
She's
got beautiful eyes, completely different from Whitney Houston.
Very beautiful woman.
Yes.
She kind of actually reminded me a little bit of, like, Brandy or something.
Correct. Yes.
Which, you know, Brandy and Whitney did work together.
That's true.
So,
but they are not the same person.
Not
we
the
can
same
confirm
person.
On this podcast.
You know, whereas when you saw a movie like Bohemian Rhapsody,
oh, you're blown away by
the uncanny similarities between, you know, the teeth prosthetics and the facial, you know, the hair
and then in the same, like, a year later, Rocket Man, he didn't look like Elton John.
No.
And that was a great movie.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have to set some, like, it doesn't have to be an uncanny similarity visually to the artist.
And
also,
clearly,
Whitney is, like, basically a supermodel. It's kind of hard to pull that off.
They're clearly using Whitney's vocals for this too. Like,
oh,
it's not going to be, because they did kind of a combo in Bohemian Rhapsody of a little bit was in there of my man, what's his name? Rami Malek.
Thank you.
Yeah, Rami Malek's voice. They did, like, a blend of, like, Freddie and
same with Taron Egerton.
Oh, they did?
He sang through in Rocket
Man. Oh, that's
Man.
Right. Yeah. He's saying, Naomi's not singing. Listen, Naomi, I'm sure she might have a lovely voice, but
Maybe she does sing in the movie and they just put in Whitney's vocals in the trailer.
So we mentioned Bohemian Rhapsody. I Want to Dance with Somebody is written by the same writer, Anthony McCarden. There's been, like, some pretty impressive high profile musician biopics lately, including Elvis this summer. Do we think that this is going to, you know, is it going to be both a successful representation of Whitney and also, like, a hit at the box office? Like, some of these, all three of the examples we said were all hits and well received, I think.
I think when you look at Bohemian Rhapsody, Elvis, and Rocket Man, there was sort of narrative, sort of like challenges in the story that intrigued viewers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Elvis had, you know, it's like, what I'm saying is, like, if this Whitney Houston film is going to address sort of like the challenges in her life that maybe we didn't know about.
Which the trailer did not hint at.
No.
At all.
It just looked like a very sort of high gloss, like montage of music video moments.
Oh, I didn't mention Clive is a producer on this movie too. So like it could be, you know, it could shave off some edges from Whitney's life story.
Right. I mean, though in the trailer, you do see a glimpse of her walking down the aisle, presumably with Bobby Brown.
Oh, who's playing Bobby Brown? Is he in the trailer? I didn't notice.
And you see moments of her. There's distinctly a moment where she's in the video for It's Not Right, But It's Okay. So it gets up at least to 1999.
Mm-hmm.
So where does the movie end? It discovers her in 83 and then it ends with My Love Is Your Love or something?
You don't think it's going to end with her passing?
No.
Really?
No, Bohemian Rhapsody didn't. Bohemian Rhapsody ended with Live Aid.
Oh, that's right.
Like 6 years before
Freddie
Mercury
died. And then it's like, yay, and then nothing else happened, guys. Nothing to see here.
It's like, you know, she celebrated her comeback in 1999, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah. Wasn't that great? Oh, goodness. Okay. The movie's slated to arrive in theaters December 21st, which actually is its own hint that they think it's pretty good because that's Oscar timing.
I'm curious to hear if there's any new music that has been written specifically for the film that might be Oscar bait for Best Original Song.
Performed by whom?
I don't know, Jennifer Hudson,
right.
Perhaps one of Whitney's people, someone that looked up to Whitney as an inspiration that came later in life.
Because unfortunately, like unlike her hit with Kygo, Higher Love, where they like resurfaced these vocals of her doing the Steve Winwood song, that wouldn't count toward a Best Original Song Oscar.
It has to be written specifically for this film.
It would inherently be already recorded.
Right.
Yes.
So this would have to be a wholly new recording written specifically for the film.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be anyone.
So it would have to be like somebody else performing it, which,
yes.
You know, I just want to hear more Whitney, you know.
I mean, I'm sure there's a way where someone else will
maybe
record
Stanley
it.
Tucci will record
sure.
as Clive.
I mean, maybe there are some like leftover vocals from Whitney that she could be sort of pasted in as like background vocals.
Kind of like movie dialogue is put into,
anything is possible.
Backgrounds by Whitney.
All right.
Moving on. We will talk about this movie more. Just yep. FYI. Like Keith and I will be talking about it a lot, so we'll be sharing that with you.
Well, now it's time for the chart stat of the week. Let's stay with Whitney Houston.
Let's.
And let's make this a quiz, Katie.
Wait, is it a quiz, Katie and Gary?
No, because he'll know the answer.
Can I call on Gary as a lifeline once in a while
sure.
if needed? Okay.
Well, this is simple. Katie. Which of the following singles did not hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 for Whitney
Gary's
Houston?
Gary's going to know this, yeah.
So we have Saving All My Love for You, So Emotional, I'm Every Woman, and Exhale, Shoop Shoop.
Okay, so I have a guess that is based on knowledge. My guess is I'm Every Woman just because I'm assuming that I Will Always Love You might have blocked it because it's also from the Bodyguard soundtrack. That's my logic.
Gary, what is the correct answer?
I'm upset. I'm not needed here at all.
Wait, is that right?
Katie nailed that.
Yes. That is correct.
I'm so happy.
I'm Every Woman reached number four in 1993. It was the second single from the Bodyguard soundtrack following I Will Always Love You, which spent 14 weeks at number one, just like Harry Styles.
14
as it
weeks.
Was.
You don't say. Look at that.
In total, Whitney has had 11 number ones on the Hot 100, and her final number one was Exhale in 1995.
Was I Will Always Love You a consecutive 14 weeks at number one?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's a hit.
All right, well, there you have it. A little quiz, Katie, about Whitney Houston and her number ones on the Hot 100 chart.
All right,
we've reached the end of our big shoe. Thank you, Gary.
Yay, Gary.
For being here.
Going to go work on my Clive Davis and Stanley Tucci impressions for next time.
He'll be back next week with his new Clive Davis impression.
Any parting words, Katie?
Nope.
Okay. What song should we go out on?
What should we go out on? We talked about a lot. How about one of the other number ones that's been 14 weeks or more that we haven't heard?
Well,
what do you think, Gary?
Yeah, Gary, why don't you pick?
Oh, I get to pick?
Yeah. Yes. Has to be one of those other ones that have had 14
weeks.
Because
we always struggle to choose, so why not force you to choose today?
Pretty sure I know Keith always likes Madonna. I'm a big Mariah fan. We're going to go with We Belong Together.
I was going to say, Madonna's never had something for 14 weeks at number one, so I guess we're going with Mariah.
I love We Belong Together.
We Belong Together it is, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.